Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you don't have hangover?
No.
He's got a cold?
Yeah.
Have you had enough vegetables?
Why'd you worry?
I worry about you.
I have regular centrums. Welcome to the only podcast that is 100% racist, according to Stormzy. A very niche and British reference.
So niche, I don't even get it.
Oh, really? Have you not heard the news? Stormzy was asked in an interview, right? Does he think that Britain is racist?
Right.
Presumably talking about institutions and some of the people.
Yeah.
And Stormzy said, yeah, 100%.
Oh,
but it was
okay.
Reported as Britain is 100% racist, says Stormzy. So he's being pilloried and pariahed in the press. With idiots because of just, you know, misreporting. And he just basically went, right, the next time the fucking Daily Mirror needs anything, they can go fucking whistle or whoever it was.
Does he need them, Pete?
He doesn't need them.
Does he need those jokers over at the Daily Mirror?
He's got a crown made of words.
Yeah.
That's how cool he is. Have you got a crown made of words? Don't think so.
Do you know that...
It's a Burger King hat. It's made of cardboard.
Actually, when I get the big beard, I do look a bit like the Burger King.
The Burger King.
Yeah.
I don't think I told you, a friend of an ex had the Burger King helm, the actual king they use. You know, like the people that do the adverts.
Yes.
They've got the actual king.
Like a Plaster of Paris type thing.
Plaster of Paris kind of, like a plastic king. And obviously it's got these beautiful robes and stuff. And it was their job to get it dry cleaned. And apparently it costs like 400 quid to get dry cleaned every time. Because this guy was in
Where does it live
forest.
Generally then?
It lives in a case, but there's like four of them.
So the guy wears it for the advert?
Yeah, puts the head on and puts and runs around like that.
Yeah.
But he's running through some undergrowth and it got rather dirty. 400 quid to clean it. And
it's
then
pricey.
I was told not to go near it. First thing I did was put the head on.
Don't say that to Donnie.
Don't go near it.
To Donnie.
Don't go near it.
Play with that as much
play
as
with
you
as
want.
As much as you want. I go, don't even want to.
Yeah.
This bit of string I found.
Don't want you to tell me what to do, the man. What was I going to say? You just reminded me of the old, talking of a crown. I listened to a podcast that Billy Connolly was on the other day. Actually, you know, obviously a national treasure. And I was reminded of the time that when he did his famous, quite controversial crucifixion comedy routine in like the 70s or whatever. And he referred to the crown of thorns as Jesus's wee jaggy bonnet. And he's up there with his wee jaggy bonnet, you know. Which really made me laugh.
Lot of time for that.
Possibly the reason why I haven't seen this Stormzy news is because...
Storms in a teacup.
It was a Stormzy in a teacup. Mm. And the reason I haven't seen it is because I was out last night.
Posting dog through
dog poo through
an ethnic minority's door letterbox.
Your letterbox.
100% racist.
No, I'm not. I took a photo again outside your house the other day.
Oh, did you? Somebody left a little card on my intercom. I've got a thread of people leaving stuff on my intercom, and somebody left a card for Porsche party planners, and it's a picture of a Porsche on a card, a business card, and it says available 24/7, providing anything.
You name it.
You name it.
Yeah, get me
a Porsche. More importantly, so presumably they're providing a Porsche.
Get me an owl named Winston.
Get me an owl.
Yeah,
I want an owl on the steering wheel as I wheel round the corners of Soho.
You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere. What's the point of having a high performance vehicle in Soho?
You can't drive.
If you're going to go for something that you're going to drive around Soho in, just get it the biggest, most comfortable car you can. Because you ain't going anywhere. Yeah. You ain't going anywhere.
Get one of those armchairs that you can drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're recording this episode in advance because it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
So this episode's coming out just before New Year.
Cool.
And we make no apology for that because we have ground ourselves into the dirt this year.
Have you heard my voice?
Exactly.
I did my goodbye radio show last night.
I heard you got in big trouble.
With a terrible voice like this going, I'm sorry, like you make big plans for what your final show is going to be like. And then that happens. Your voice just absolutely ruins itself.
You got in big trouble, Pete Donaldson.
Why did I get in big trouble?
For apparently burping on air, which is absolutely outrageous. Outrageous stuff.
That was my last word on Absolute Radio.
Was it a burp?
It really made me, like, a really meaty burp.
It's a fitting epitaph for your 9 years.
I had to pre-record it. I couldn't do it live. I had to drink a can of Coke and then go... burp.
You actually planned it?
Yeah. I went, listen... This is something I've almost done on air so many times, and I've never done it on air.
Did you get a lot of texts saying cheers, kids crying? Did you get a lot of those?
I got one tweet going, "Oh, cheers! Thanks for burping down the microphone for everyone to hear." That's how microphones work.
What would be the point of it?
My kids are all doing it in the car now. We're like, "Yes, come on!"
That is actually quite fitting.
Well, yeah.
You've left a legacy of children burping in cars, annoying their parents. I can't think of anything better than that. How did you frame it?
I just went. You know, this is, you know, when you're a DJ, you fantasize about what your final song's going to be, what your final...
If I was listening to that and it was you, I'd be thinking, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I set it up and I was thinking, they're probably going to think I'm going to shout the F word, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I just did a real meaty burp and then played the Deftones, which obviously Absolute Radio is, it's outside their remit, playing the Deftones back to school.
Did it go out?
What do you mean?
So did the song go out and everything?
Well, I hope they didn't turn off the transmitters.
Well, we have the radio station I work at, there's like a dump button.
Right, okay.
You don't have that.
No, mate, when you self-produce, they can't
stop
you.
Oh, yeah, true. You self-produce.
If you don't have a producer yourself, no one can stop you.
Okay, good. Did you get any messages of complaint from the higher-ups?
It was, no, not really. They strangely didn't mention that, but they said, thank you for all your hard work.
I think
here's your carriage clock. They gave me a Les Paul.
Oh, did they?
They gave me a Les Paul. I've never owned a Les Paul. I've never really played much of them, to be honest. It was a Les Paul that we'd taken to Isle of Wight a few times. And it had been signed by a lot of artists. The problem is, I haven't got a fucking clue who.
Oh, that's a great gift, though.
It is a great gift.
They were really pleased to see the back of you, weren't they?
but they, like I love taking like plastic off stuff. The front cover, the front of DVD players, protective screens on like camera screens and stuff like that. I love that. It gives me joy where there is none.
Yeah.
And what they've done is on the scratch plate. They hadn't taken the plastic film off and somebody signed on the top of that. So I'm going to find out who it is and then think about maybe taking it off somehow.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay. You have to work out. If it's not
if it's like the basis from Scouting for Girls, I'll be fine with losing that one.
If it's Noel Gallagher, whip it off.
Whip it
he
off.
He signs everything. I don't think I've ever been in Absolute Radio HQ and not seen something signed by Noel Gallagher.
Well, you know.
I was going to say something, but now I completely forgot what it was. Oh,
you're having a go at Absolute Radio.
I wasn't.
Stop having a go.
I have nothing but love for Absolute Radio. Before we had a studio here at Stakhanov Towers.
Yeah, true.
They were very accommodating, and so I'm very thankful for them for also teaching you how to broadcast as well, which then in turn helped me.
Very rude.
It has. Well, they've taught you your stripes.
They have, yeah. Proper microphone technique when you don't have a cold and terrible asthma problems.
You were gone. Oh, yeah, that's a big being that you've got. I imagine you've got some kind of document and dossier about everyone who works here's microphone technique, haven't you?
Yeah, Jim's is the worst.
Yeah.
Jim is a professional stand-up with microphones in his life that he uses every night.
Yeah.
And he can't talk on a microphone properly.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah, have you ever told him?
Yeah, I told him. I've told him on air.
Okay.
On air.
Good. Well, how'd you rate mine out of 10?
It's all right.
It's all right. I'll take that off. I mean,
if you can speak into a microphone and you've got headphones for feedback,
yeah,
there's no excuse.
No,
it's crazy.
Yeah. You were talking about Stormzy. I missed this news when it broke about a week ago because, like I said, we're pre-recording this because I went to. I tell you what, Donny, I am someone who's naturally cynical about this kind of stuff, and I find it a little bit awkward. And I was really excited to go because I got it bought as a Christmas present by my lovely wife. But I wasn't quite sure what to expect.
Yeah.
And it was Secret Cinema's Stranger Things.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I went to that last night.
A lot of my Facebook pages were the same neon picture outside a cinema or something, like a bowling alley or something.
I was a Starquart Mall.
The Starcott Mall. Yeah, a lot of people in the Starcott Mall.
So we went, Mimi and I went to that last night. And yes, put your phones in those little locked pouches.
Cool.
And so you can't take any photos or anything.
Useful.
And I don't want to give too much away because clearly they...
Why are you crying?
Because they thrive on that kind of mystery. Yeah, yeah. It was honestly so good. Mm. I really wanted to find fault with it at the start. Mm. And it took me like a record amount of time to get well into it.
Yeah, it doesn't
Everything is perfect. Yeah, yeah. Have you been to a secret cinema event before?
No, but everyone raves about it. So I like experiential stuff. I think it's fucking brilliant.
It's amazing. So it's almost like immersive theatre. Like, yeah. They're like a full Starcourt Mall where a lot of the season three takes place. They had a big fun fair where there's a big scene in the series, if you haven't seen it, where that takes place. All the actors, all the characters were there. You got to spend time actually interacting with the proper characters. I mean, right. Obviously, it's officially licensed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just amazingly good.
Yeah.
And it's a good, probably 4-hour kind of evening with... And the thing they do, which is really cool, is that because they had sold out of regular tickets, Mimi got VIP tickets. And what that means is for this particular event... You get given...
Kiss one of the cast members.
Yeah, you get to kiss...
one of the children.
I got kissed the... Peter, for fuck's
Isn't
sake.
It about kids?
Yes.
Right.
What's that got to do with it?
I'm just saying.
It's not just about kids. There's lots of characters.
I had to go to gym for watching a cartoon last week.
Yeah. I mean, he does need to grow up. But the thing is, you got the VIP passes were press passes.
Right, okay.
So it was like the whole thing was done. You weren't just like a VIP kind of... It didn't set you apart from everyone else because you feel a bit awkward about it.
Yeah.
They gave you a press pass and it meant you were just one on the news network. So you could go to different areas and you could blag your way through security and do different things. Yeah. So there are parts of it where if you walk up to someone working there who's in character and say, can I go through there behind that curtain? And they say, no, it's staff only.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. And now, second or third time, you think, all right, I want to come through because I'm press and they've said I can go through there. And they go, all right. And they let you through and there's a whole other thing happening.
What?
And you don't know it's there. It's amazing. It's really good.
Can you just run through? So if you don't have one of those VIP passes, can you blag your way
you
in?
You can. They set you like little missions.
Oh,
so there was one bit that Mimi and I did where we saw a poster on the wall that said dial 6 something, 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 like a number, for information, to give information to the TV company, to give them a story. It's like set in the 80s, right? Yeah. And about 10 feet down the wall, there was a payphone, like an authentic 80s payphone. So we just picked it up and dialed that number on the poster.
Right.
And it came through and said, and there was a person on the other end of the line saying, hello, Hawkins News Network.
Mm.
And I said something and he went, okay, have you got any more information about that? And it was like a proper interactive phone call. And the mayor...
You would not believe what Stormzy said.
Yeah. The mayor... Of the village, of the town, Hawkins Mayor, in the TV series. He's played by Kerry Elwes. He's like this smarmy, kind of corrupt guy.
Right.
And he's walking around, and he's dressed everything, and he's meeting everyone like a smarmy mayor. And I had a couple of cocktails, so I called him a corrupt son of a bitch. And he like reacted to it in like character. He was like, hey, what are you talking about? It was really good. So I'd recommend it. I think it's on until February, obviously in London. So
like the idea of you drunk, rolling around an experiential theatre experience.
Yeah, it's good. It was really, really good. So I'd recommend that.
Enjoyable.
So I was like 4.5 hours without my phone, so I missed this massive story.
That's not really massive stuff. Just people being dickheads. Well done for that. And I don't really want to see remember Bum Bum Train? That was a big thing.
What the hell is that?
Experiential theatre experience that is very limited, or certainly was very limited ticket wise, and it was always in a different place, and it was always like different every time. And
I've never heard of it.
It's like this sort of thing that you've gone through, this experience you've gone through. But it was, it's a fascinating, I think it's a bit more, it's all in one little building, I think, and it you just kind of break off into different areas yourself. I really wanted to go back. I could never get a ticket. It was so...
Do you know what it felt a bit like? It felt a bit like, you know, when you play those open world video games like Grand Theft Auto or whatever, it felt a bit like that.
Yeah. Cool.
Bit in real life.
Lovely old job.
And I didn't kill anyone.
You didn't kill anyone.
And if I did, it was in character, and so it is not actionable, so deal with it.
Well, we'll be back very soon with this corrupt son of a bitch, Luke.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I've had that one for a while.
She was.
I've got an email here. So hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. What we should probably do is bang through the final of the Christmas emails because otherwise we're going to be out of time to do them. Because, I mean, next show we're here is going to be 2020 and it's going to be Christmas. People are going to forget about Christmas, aren't they? So I'll do this one first. It's from Sean in Whitley Bay, who says, "Hi guys, it's me again. I was astonished you didn't read out my last email. Oh no, sorry. I was astonished you read out my last email. Remuster lids, brackets, badgers, ferrets, etc., including otters. As I didn't finish it, I was interrupted at work and must have pressed send while trying to look like I wasn't clearly on the Skype. I can only think it must have been a slow on the email front that week. I do remember us talking about otters, but I mean, your email was probably entered into the show on merit, Sean.
Maybe it got into a log jam."
Either that or Pete did it. "Well, I'm skiving again," says Sean. "So to let you know of my outrage at Pete's lack of regard for Secret Santa etiquette," you know, when you just go over the limit.
Go over the limit?
Do you remember?
What do you mean?
Remember I said if it's an ideal situation, it's Secret Santa with you, because if you draw me, I'm loving it, because you always spend too much money. Well, Sean's unhappy about it. He says, "Well, on one hand, it's very generous and thoughtful. On the other hand, it's a cunt's trick. And serves only to make the people involved who stayed within their limits look bad."
I think you're prescribing too much importance to Secret Santa.
Well, Sean also says, "P.S. sausage meat is very much a part of my Christmas dinner." Good to know. And PPS, I once saw the gladiator Rhino in Birmingham. He was the squarest man I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not particularly tall, about 5'7", but probably around the same width. I also heard on a different podcast that Wolf once played 70 minutes for Gillingham Reserves.
What?
I don't know if that's true.
No, I'm fascinated though.
My friend Mark, who does another podcast, he's done a full long-form interview with Rhino this week, who I think we found out this a few weeks ago, is a Hollywood actor now, isn't he? Mm. So I think he's done quite a lot of interesting stuff. But good to get the Santa ones out the way because, like I say, we won't have a chance to do any Christmas-themed emails for a wee while now. Oh,
apparently he played for 73 minutes in a match against Cambridge United reserves before going off injured. The match attracted a crowd 10 times the average for the club's reserve team gives. Wasn't there...
What year was this? Wolf was always quite old.
1994.
Okay, right.
His skullet kind of made him look a lot older than he actually was.
What a great skullet, by the way.
What a skullet.
Yeah.
Career highlight skullet.
The four major food groups of that are the mullet, the skullet.
Right.
I was running three.
Ice hockey hair is like a thick all over kind of variant of it.
Yeah. The drullet.
What's the drullet?
Like a dreadlock skullet.
It does exist.
They're very, very, you don't see a lot of them out there. You don't see a lot of them out there. Ice hockey hair, so it looks like a helmet, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the Super Furry Animal song, which is brilliant.
And the Vandal song.
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't know them.
Actually, we got a message on Twitter just now. Mike on Twitter has just tweeted 11 minutes ago, so this is hot off the mic press. I took my mini display and three heavy plastic cases full of discs with me, travelling around Australia. It was horrific. I met a beautiful Swedish girl in a hospital in Sydney who showed me this new white lumpy gadget called an iPod, which stored all of her favourite music. Mind blown. Emoji.
Yeah, so how many mini discs did they cart around?
A mini display and three heavy plastic cases full of discs.
Yeah, see, this is interesting.
And batteries on top of that, come on.
I know.
And sometimes you'd get an extra battery little component on the outside as well that would give you a bit more capacity.
That's right.
Oof.
I went to Australia and New Zealand in 2003, took a mini disc player.
Yeah.
But I didn't take massive packages of mini discs. I basically took two or three, maybe, mini discs of. Packed like with compilations of my favourite songs.
Yeah.
And that just seems mad now. I was away for 9 months. Three mini discs, each had about 10 songs each on it.
I spent a little bit of time yesterday researching researching is a bit strong, just messing about on the internet looking at, remember the iPod used to have a click wheel?
Yeah.
Like a little click wheel thing. There used to be games on the iPod?
Yeah.
And it was all based around the click wheel and stuff. There was like...
I had a first generation iPod mini.
Well, there used to be like versions of the mobile Lost video game on and it all used to be, you had to interact with it using the click wheel, which seems mad.
That is crazy.
But people still really rate the original iPod or maybe the first iPod.
Yeah, I've seen people who've got apps where it turns your iPhone into an iPod.
Yeah, yeah. Or like they take old classic iPods, which just have, you know, really great durability and it's a bit of a design classic. And they put like a little SD card reader inside instead of the hard drives, which are obviously mechanical and therefore prone to damage. I replaced my own hard drive once in my iPod, thank you.
Did you really? And, you're such a pervert.
What do you mean?
You're not supposed to take them apart, are you?
Yeah. Well, if you want to. I mean, they're a lot more replaceable than...
Do you not think at any point, if I get this wrong, it's completely fucked?
Well, it's on my...
How do you put it back together again?
Well, everything's like kind of either glueable or snappable nowadays. It's like you get a heat gun, you sort of melt the sides. You didn't have to do it back then, but like with most phones, they are serviceable, but they're just a shit to get open. Mm. It's all like glued together and stuff. Back in the day, there'd
pop
be screws
it.
And stuff and pops and little sliders and stuff. But technology has become so disposable now.
So if you take your iPod or your iPhone, whatever it is, into one of those stores in London, they'll fix them. They'll just pop them open, will they?
They'll just pop them open. Huh. Well, they'll pop them open, or they'll if you take your phone, they'll heat gun it and get all the glue off and open it up and then reseal it, hopefully.
So some people have done that with classic iPods.
Yeah, opened it up and replaced the hard drive with an SD card reader. So there's like, so you can have like 180 gigabytes, but it's all solid state memory and it's pretty swish.
Can you get
walking around with your little iPod?
Have you got one of those?
No.
No.
I've yet to get indulge in that particular hipster tech affectation.
When I think of you at home, so say for, I mean, this doesn't happen very often, but say you message me when I'm sat at home.
And you think,
watching
what's
TV.
This tech disruptor got for me now?
Well, the three things I think that you're doing, if someone said to me, what do you think Pete's doing right now? And it was right. like a normal evening.
Just take the other one. Take one of those as red. I'm either pre or post.
In flagrante.
In flagrante.
No, I would say you're either doing one of three things, right?
Right.
You're either watching some obscure TV show on YouTube. And right. It'll be like some weird YouTube channel about lock picking or something.
Right, yeah.
Or what's the other one you like? Magnet fishing.
I've not watched him for a little while.
The second thing is you are hunched over some kind of bit of tech.
I don't like the word hunched.
With a soldering iron and one of those little lights and magnifying glasses.
Right, okay, cool.
Or three, masturbating.
Yeah. As I said, just take that one as red. Take that one as red.
How'd your dad like his gaming chair?
I've not seen him yet, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm looking at my YouTube history, a bit worrying.
Yeah. Well, YouTube's safe, isn't it?
YouTube's, yeah, that's what I mean. There's no filth on YouTube. Yeah. There's Panic at the Disco, I Write Sins Not Tragedies, the official video.
Why are you watching that? That's a blast from the past. What year did that come out, Pete?
I just wanted to see how unfashionable the lead singer of Panic at the Disco was back then.
I bet it's dated now, yeah.
The Silent Hill Unseen Content, this is a guy who basically... he takes video games and, you know, like you inhabit a video game world, but like... obviously, the video game creators only create as much content as they need to. So, yeah. Like, they'll present the front of a house, but they won't bother rendering the back of the house. They won't bother making the back of the house because you're never going to see it. This guy takes a little wander, has a little wander around, see what's going on.
How
behind
does he do that?
Well, he uses a PC, he hacks into it on the PC, and has a little wander around, see what's going on.
Is that legal?
Yeah. It's probably a grey area.
I don't think I understand it. Can you just repeat it again? So just repeat what you just said. Listening properly.
So say in a cutscene in a video game,
right.
You are, say this is the start of Grand Theft Auto 4. It's a bank robbery scene, right?
Right.
And you escape from the bank and you're in a car and you're driving along. But it's just a cutscene in that, like, it's not really part of the real game world.
So you can't play it?
So you can't really, so you have very strict parameters where you're allowed to go.
Yeah.
And the computer kind of like corrals you into making those choices.
Now. Yeah, I understand that.
But then this guy goes back, and it's called boundary breaking in this particular YouTube term, where it takes the camera and just has a look around and how the world was created and how the game world was created. And like, say like in a video game, like a guy breaks through a wall and starts trying to attack you.
Yeah.
What happens before he's through that wall? What does he look like? Is he in like a reference T-pose, which is like where the video game character is just with their arms out like that, or Y, I think it's called. And like, what are they doing behind the wall?
Oh, I just thought they didn't exist. Because
in memory, you can only have you've only got a finite amount of memory, so the characters have to be somewhere. So they're just hidden behind a wall, and they're always there.
Oh, that's really creepy.
It's really creepy, yeah. And that's why it's interesting.
Yeah.
I was actually talking about you know, The Last of Us, the video game The Last of Us.
I haven't. I'd like to though. Do you think I'd like it?
I think you would. Yeah.
You're not plugged in, by the way.
It doesn't matter. No. I'm just showing you. There's a video where they're.
Can I get
it
on the Nintendo Switch?
No, you can't.
Every single video game conversation we have.
Just get it on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. The way that video games are made is that like what they do with characters. Obviously, this motion capture.
I've seen that before. Yeah.
But what the creators of those games have to basically, they make the meshes, they make the models, and then they have to put like a skeleton inside, like a virtual skeleton,
right?
That reacts like an actual skeleton. So you know the joints can pull and push, and it
so it looks realistic.
So it moves in a realistic way. The arm just doesn't start floating around. And there's this great moment where at the start of Last of Us, something incredibly emotional happens.
Right. Don't spoil it.
I'm trying not to, but it's harrowing. And the actors, all the actors are...
Oh, you've shown me this before. Yeah, they get really upset.
Really upset, and they're in tears.
Yeah.
But because the animators have to animate it, at the end of every scene, they have to get up and put their arms out wide so that they can bone the meshes, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so this young girl who's part of this very, very emotional scene, crying her eyes out.
Has to get up and do that.
Has to get up and do the teasing.
That's so funny, isn't it? Oh, how weird. What a world we've created for ourselves.
What a world.
Amazing.
And that's how video games are made. It's as simple as that.
Thank you very much for that, Pete Donaldson.
Sorry for boring you on that.
No, it was great. More on that as we get it.
Yeah.
Adam's been in touch.
Hello, Adam. Is it Adam Richardson?
He doesn't give his second name.
Cool.
Who's that? Is that Man vs. Food?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah. It's about ready salted crisps.
Okay, then.
Bit of a change of trains.
Yeah.
Do you know when they make ready salted crisps, they have to put the potatoes in a T position? Now, he says, having listened to the email discussing the use of warm, ready salted crisps as a side dish for a roast dinner, I thought I'd get in touch. Yes, you heard that right. Those of you who haven't heard the earlier episode, it is a scandal. The listener who emailed in mentioned that it might be a Midlands thing.
Mm.
And as a southerner, I'm afraid I can't fully confirm, but I am married to a Midlander and can tell you she also has been known to involve ready salted crisps as an accompaniment to a hot meal. We got together over 15 years ago now when we were at university, and after being together for a year or so, she offered to cook me macaroni cheese, and I of course said yes.
Yes, please.
I'll put the fact that she used penne pasta instead of macaroni to one side.
No, thank you.
As that was the least shocking thing about the meal. The least shocking thing, Pete. As she placed the plates down on the table for us to eat, not only did she offer salt and pepper, she also offered a scrunched up bag of ready salted, which she proceeded to delve into before sprinkling broken crisps over her meal. I, of course, was shocked and wondered if this was the end for us, but eventually my manners took over and I accepted the offer and partook in a bit of crisp sprinkling.
Keep it clean, Adam.
I'll be honest, for ages...
I thought you were eating, mate.
For ages, I thought it was bonkers, but 15 years later, I have to admit I'm a convert. Not only do the crisps add extra seasoning, they also add a texture that can enhance, that could enhance many a meal. Give it a go next time you whip up a quick pasta dish. You won't regret it. Cheers, Adam. Now...
I'm in, Adam.
I don't mind that.
Don't mind it.
But it's not a roast dinner, is it?
It's not a roast dinner.
A roast dinner is horrendous.
Imagine if you made a roast dinner and sprinkle crisps over the top.
I think my mum would punch me in the face if I pulled out a packet of ready salted crisps.
Mummy, get me some Watsits.
Yeah.
It's the cheesy sprinkle that really makes it pop.
Yeah. It's a slightly different situation.
What an awful thing to do. But yeah, I agree, Adam. That's delicious.
Would that video game actress be crying?
Crying into a crisp.
So that actually gets into the mode. Watches someone sprinkling ready salted crisps on a roast dinner.
Would you like me to play us out with the lyrics from the song I've Got an Ape Drape by the Vandals?
What is an ape drape?
It's a mullet.
Oh, an ape.
Like an
okay.
Ape,
yeah.
An ape drape.
Why not? Let's play. We haven't got the rights, but who gives a shit?
Well, I was going to see the rights up by just reading out the lyrics.
Oh, okay, yeah, fine.
Make it like that famous country singer or that guy I saw last night on Jerry Springer. Clean me up, but let me keep my edge. In the day, I like to keep it dignified, but at night, you know, I got another side, and I don't give a damn because I am what I am, even if it's really, really bad. I've got an ape drape, yes I do. They're giving them to anyone, and that means you. You can drive to Riverside and get one too. Then you'll have an ape drape like I do. Go ahead and buzz around the ears. I've been growing that one braid back there for years. I've had it since the first time I saw Queensryche. The front may conform to society, but the back says I have personality, even if it's really bad. Even if it's really, really bad.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
A band called The Vandals who have a number of different albums, some of which are called Hitler Bad, Vandals Good.
Yep.
Look What I Almost Stepped In. 2002's Internet Dating Superstuds.
Yeah.
And the... presumably very well received 2004 effort Hollywood Potato Chip.
They
and if
are.
That isn't linked to I macaroni know. Cheese and ready salted crisps, I don't know what is.
Yeah. So yes, thank you so much for and they end the song with different terms for the ape drape, different terms for the mullet in okay. different parts of the US.
Go on.
The Norco neck warmer.
I've never heard the ape drape before.
Yeah, no. Hockey hair, Canada. Yeah. Achy breaky hair in Nashville. The mullet in Hoboken. Forbidden hair in Europe.
Forbidden hair in Europe.
I've got forbidden hair. So.
That's like another thing that Americans get wrong about Europe.
and the shong in Florida. Short and long.
I've never heard of that. There's quite a funny kind of thing in the US among sort of younger guys who they think it's absolutely baffling how European men dress.
Mm.
And then obviously I think...
tight trousers.
And I personally think how they dress is terrible. They
yeah.
dress like really oversized jeans and like running trainers.
Big
like running trainers and oversized
big
shirts. Yeah.
Shirts.
And baseball caps for everything. but they think it's funny the way we dress here. So
yeah.
I remember going to a dinner. I think I said this before, but I went to a dinner with some of my wife's friends and they said, oh yeah, when we go to New York City, we play the older gay or European game.
Good.
You see someone and you have to guess whether they're gay or European. And... look, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. Let's get out of here. Next
your
time,
your homework for this week is to listen to Hitler Good. Sorry, Hitler Bad. Vanosgut.
What's that? The B-side.
Hitler Good is my pamphlet I've written.
Yeah,
Hitler Bad. Vanosgut from 1998. It is an excellent album from start to finish. It is wonderful.
I'll finish with this on that Stranger Things secret cinema. At one point, I won't give too much away, but you have to put your hand out to show that that you're supporting the good guys, kind of thing.
What's it? Oh right, okay, yeah.
And a lot of people getting it wrong.
getting it wrong.
And I was thinking at one point, I'm pleased there are no camera phones in here because this could be repurposed.
Corner long lens, black and white security footage. Everyone just got their arm up. What's going on here?
Listen, in the world
what's
of post-truth,
going on
this
here?
Could be repurposed.
Disgusting.
In a chilling way. All right, next time we come back and speak to you guys, it's going to be 2020, which is officially the future. And I've got a few questions for Pete. Don't miss it.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.